We have had a doozy of a day.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Welcome to the Horror Basement, where we talk about horror and all kinds of other stuff. I'm one of the hosts, Johnny. We have Jim Jam, Yeti, and Angela here with us.
Jim Jam here.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
And we're serving up horror all over the land like biscuits and gravy. Just so you know, we're doing video podcasts. If you want to go watch it, it's a shit show.
Or it has been.
This one has been frustrating for me. I'm just going to call him out right now.
He's a bitch.
You want
to do shit? Dumpster fire.
No, I'm just playing.
Sorry,
Jenny.
And Angela just had the longest yawn I've ever seen in my life.
She's already bored because she's been on here for 45 minutes and we haven't done
shit. I'm on my third beer.
Maybe we'll get a good Yeti rant out of this.
Better slow down. In all seriousness, go follow us on our Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff. And
down here, if you're watching, you can see that. Motherfucker, I don't get the merch. Hold up. But yeah.
I ain't worried about that. There's merch at TeePublic and all that stuff. But we're going to talk a news. Then Jamie Lee Curtis directing a horror film and the horror on how it affects children, Succubi, and the movie of the week is porno. So let's go first with the news. This was just out of this past week. Ryan Gosling will star as Wolfman in the latest monster movie for Universal. I mean, plus, you know, there's no plot or nothing on that right now. But I guess with the success of The Invisible Man, you know, The Mummy flopped. But, or I don't know if it flopped. Did it flop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they put way too much money into that. They didn't need to. You know, I think they were trying to make it bigger than it needed to be.
Well, and they don't even know if Ryan Gosling will star in it because he's starring in another movie, an astronaut movie.
Oh, really?
So, but that's what the creator or the potential script writers wanted. So Jason Blum's wife and her partner who did the Orange is the New Black is set. I don't know if they're going to be the writers or not, but they were mentioned. So I don't know if you guys want to talk about how you feel about that, but
Blumhouse doing it?
What's that?
Blumhouse doing it or having...
No. Jason Blum's wife is one of the writers, Lauren Schuler Blum.
Yeah.
Or Shulker or whatever, Shucker or something like that.
I don't know anything about her, so.
Yeah, she's her and the other person who, they're staff writers for Orange is the New Black. And so they were talking about having them write, and they had wanted Ryan Gosling. So you know, they said that in the article that three other people put their pitches in along with some others. And they mentioned James Wan, Paul Feig, and John Krasinski. Jeez. I think out of all of them, I think I say we just bring back Lee Whannell again. Him and James Wan can work together again, you know. I think they would do something really cool with it. I don't really like any of the other choices. I mean, John did The Quiet Place 1 and 2, and then you have Paul, and, you know, he's known for the 2016 Ghostbusters and Bridesmaids, and he's directed a lot of single episodes on, you know, like Park and Rec, Mad Men, Arrested Development, Freaks and Geeks, but I don't know. I just don't think any of them would capture the tone at all. And I definitely, you know, you have James and Lee who both have script writing experience as well as directing and all that. And I think they make magic when they're together. So,
yeah. Yeah. And they're giving Paul Feig a movie, another, like the Dark Army. Mm-hmm. He's gonna be directing that for Universal too, and
is it gonna be a complete shit show?
It feels like it, because I feel like with somebody like that, it's all Hollywood. It's not, you know?
Well, with Paul Feig, especially lately, it's all fucking identity politics. That dude's a fucking worm.
Yeah.
You know, it's I don't know. I would like to see Lee Wan L come back, because Invisible Man was fucking great.
Yeah, it was good. And he has such a nice eye. Him and Wan both have really nice eyes and capturing a feel. So.
Or even
Ty West would be a lot of fun, I think.
I would even go as far as like Mike Flanagan.
Yeah, sure.
I like Flanagan's eye.
I think any of those guys that have great aesthetic and everything, and I would definitely enjoy to see, you know, seeing what they would come up with. You know, the problem is like I said, you get to Hollywood and then they want to create The Mummy all over again. And it's, you know, the big stars and do all the CGI, and I don't know.
That's why it turns into a message movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck.
Or it's all CGI and all that stuff.
Yeah, I didn't watch The Mummy, so. I didn't even watch the ones with Brandon Fraser in it.
I liked them a lot better.
Those aren't bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't watch them. When they come out, it's just like, eh.
Is that still a Universal movie? The one for Brandon Fraser?
I think.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure.
I mean.
Pretty sure they are.
Based off of The Mummy.
I mean, I could be totally wrong, but I'm pretty sure they are. But what do y'all think about Ryan Gosling, though, if he's attached to it?
I mean, I like him, but it doesn't do anything for me. Like I said, it kills the feel. Kills the vibe. It makes it too Hollywood, so to speak.
Yeah. I couldn't pick the guy out of the lineup, honestly. Like, I don't know what he's been in.
You ever watch Drive?
Yeah.
He's been in The Notebook. Maybe?
Notebook. You know, Drive, where he smashes dude's head in while they're in an elevator, crushes his head.
No, I haven't seen that.
That's a really good movie. I really enjoyed Drive. So
yeah, I mean, he's good, but like I said, I want to look for in the movie.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, it's newsworthy. That's why I brought it up. But let's move into Jamie Lee Curtis. Did we talk about that on the other podcast? Anyways, she's going to be directing or set to direct a horror movie. And we brought up the question, after what she said, is should she? And then the effects of horror on children. Like, what are the effects of horror on children? We all grew up, I think we're like, it's how many generations is it now that have grown up with horror in their life as far as movies go? It's been a while now, so... I mean, you got at least 4 or 5 generations. I mean, but what is considered a generation, though? Is it every 20 years or 30 years? Probably should have looked that up before I brought that up, but
I don't know. I think it's just I'm not really sure where the actual demarcation is there. But like, I don't know. Like we discussed this like amongst ourselves before, and my thing is
about 30 years. Sounds right.
You know, Jamie Lee Curtis, she's been in some stuff and she's directed like some TV episodes or whatever. You know, she's been in horror movies and stuff, and she's, especially lately, she's been getting all this fucking big, the big huzzah for fucking Halloween or whatever, which, I mean, I'm not discounting Halloween. Fucking keep your torches and pitchforks at home,
yeah,
please.
I'm about to say. Motherfucker, about to jump on you.
But anyway, but she's like, you know, she doesn't like horror films. And you know, if you're in front of the camera as an actor or actress and you're not a huge fan of the genre, I don't think it matters as long as you show up and fucking do your goddamn job and go home, right? As long as you look good on screen, you're fucking solid. But I feel like to direct a successful horror movie, you have to have a heart for it. You got to have a mind for it, you know. So, and I really think that you know, the passion that you I think you really need to make a good horror movie comes from a love of the genre. That's just me personally. I could be fucking wrong. I'm good at that.
I think it. I think it definitely can make a difference. You know, when you have a passion for, it's just like anything. If you have a passion for it, you know, it's going to show. It's going to come out. And you know, she had criticized. You know, was criticizing parents when a 5-year-old came up to her with the parent. And the parent says, oh, you know, my kid loves Halloween. And, you know, she just couldn't believe that, you know, the parent allowed their kid to watch a horror movie. And, you know, that is pretty young. I think there's
yeah.
you know, certain things. So the problem is everybody really goes on the old study that was done by Harrison and Cancer out of the University of Wisconsin, which really, I think, put the fear in parents to some extent, because they said that on younger children, when they're allowed to view horror movies, it has lasting effects on them, such as trauma and anxiety disorders. And so, I don't know, you know, Jamie said that she would let her son play, you know, video games, you know, and then one time it just kind of occurred to her, like, wait a second, what am I doing? You know, and she took it away from him, you know, seeing all the violence and everything. But I think there's, you know, with today, if you look at maybe more current studies, it shows, sure, it can have effects on kids, but they're not truly harmful. So it's kind of, you know, it creates some fear and experience that, you know, you can get enjoyment through, like adrenaline rush, you know, like a roller coaster ride or something. And not only that, every child's different. So, yeah. You know, it's kind of like it, the negative effects, you know, you just kind of got to weigh them out. You know, they have nightmares, which is, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Scary, dark, yeah, you know. You know, might want to check under the bed more, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, we have the emotion theory, which is our interpretation of the same psychological events that can be basically
in the dark.
It just depends on the individual. So,
oh, no.
You know, in other words, everybody's going to interpret what's scary differently.
Right.
And then, you know, go ahead.
I think with a lot with showing kids horror movies, I think it's the parents, like, I don't believe you're like the worst parent in the world if, like, Jamie Lee Curtis said some shit about, but I wouldn't show my kid's 9. I still wouldn't show him the original Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Because mostly because of all the sex in it, not even mm-hmm. because of the violence. And I think it's about, you know, but that's just, it's that weird American thing. But I think it's about knowing your kid and knowing what they can handle,
yeah,
and understanding their personality, and then parenting through any effects afterwards. You know, we started my boy off with Little Shop of Horrors, and we ended up with the original theatrical cut that had Audrey 2 taking over the world. Had to parent through that one a little bit, because he was, you know, he's used to happy endings and stuff. But, like, The Conjuring, stuff like that, you know, nothing super violent, but, you know, supernatural spooky shit. Loves it. But I know I'm not going to show him, you know, slashers and shit, huh?
Yeah.
My wife argues for 21.
So is it 18 when he gets to see
which is
your favorite movie?
A debated down from never.
I'm assuming we're talking about Martyrs.
Yeah, Martyrs or a Serbian film or
yeah, I
you
had
know,
a feeling.
Any of my top ones, it's just like no.
Well, my thing is like, we grew up a lot of, especially in the 90s when it really hit, what was the
yeah.
scary stories to tell in the dark?
Yeah.
when that come out, and then people got on the train, like R. Stein with the Goosebumps, and a more kid-friendly-ish horror, but it's still scary stuff for kids. And it's just toned down a little bit, but, I mean, it's our generation grew up with it. Now, are we different? I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you if we are or not.
Well,
you know,
every generation was just had more prevalent. It. I mean, you got to think, even our, back to the you know, black raising and white. I mean, first you had everything that you know, we like see on TV. Universal because, Monsters and all that. But then, you know, the movies changed and, you know, they went into sci-fi kind of horror and transitioned, you know, to whatever the times were. So it's always been there. It's, and, you know, I mean...
Even Twilight Zone, you know, like growing up in like, because if I was in that era, because I watched Twilight Zone.
Oh,
anyways,
yeah, definitely.
I would have, you know, that would have been a weekly watch, right?
And then, like, you know, I mean,
yeah.
I think the one thing that can happen is, like with classical conditioning, you know, you can, with horror movies, they can create new fears through association, you know, and that does happen. Trust me, I've experienced it on the job when I have to stand next to dead bodies, you know, and I'm just like, oh, please, please.
please stay dead.
So, yeah.
So if they were to come back to life, would you scream?
I'd be worrying more about spirits fucking haunting you to see your life.
There's a lot to it.
She's over there with her holy water and her freaking cross, throwing it at him.
I don't know if you're able to,
forehead.
I don't know if you're able to talk about this, but have you experienced like on going to a scene and then get spooked by a dead body, like you wasn't expecting it to be there?
Yes. Oh. Yes, I have. Yes, we were actually all responding to. I'll make it fast. A building. It was two floors, and it was a big kind of like. U-shaped, well, kind of like a circular apartment building. And so we all spread out. We saw a front door ajar. So we thought, oh, this might be it since, you know, it was a burglary in progress call. And we opened the door and we couldn't get it open. And there was a dead body right there. And it was completely, it had nothing to do with why we were there.
Oh, gosh.
Huh. Yeah. And that's the one I got left alone with.
That's lovely, right?
What's that?
I said that was lovely, right?
Yeah, it was a little freaky. And of course, naked, you find that a lot. Naked, or her panties were down to her ankles. So,
while she's dead?
Or yeah, after, they say that you get the feeling of defecation. So I wonder if some people are like, oh, trying to pull your pants down and everything.
I don't know.
Yeah.
This is the horror basement. That's horror shit.
Yeah. But I think our generation grew up with horror more prevalent because of, like I say, all the kid pushed, you know, like themed stuff that was put toward us. Which I know there were books and children's books even back in the day that were written, you know, scary stories. And so the effect, like, I don't know, the original Halloween, like Yeti said, maybe because of the sex, but you could watch a TV version of it, and would that change your mind? Yeti?
No, I mean...
You know what I'm saying? Like, where it didn't have the sex, but... Because
I would show it to him earlier than I would as opposed to, like, an uncut version.
Because, I mean, it's a PG-13 movie, right?
No, it's rated R.
That is... Oh, I guess I was just thinking there's hardly any blood, so.
No.
Well, that one shot of blood and.
The only reason that's R-rated because there's text.
Oh, well, you could probably okay.
In my head, it's the ghosts and goblins and monsters and shit that are less scary than homeboy and overall stabbing face in the face.
Yeah, something that can be real, the reality.
Yeah.
That's why, like, has he seen The Lost Boys?
Not yet, no.
Because, I mean, that right there, I mean, growing 10, 11 years old, I was in love with that movie.
I don't recall that having sex in it.
No, I'm just thinking vampires.
I'm just saying that. So, but is there a lot of gore?
Who?
I guess there's a lot of gore.
Lost Boys? Well, he bites that one dude's head, and it blood just goes spewing out. But I mean, you know, that was about it. I don't really recall a whole.
We're debating on what Yeti's son should watch.
Yeah, movie in the Lost Boys. I mean, that's it. You know.
I mean, all of us in the horror community. I mean, he got some of the best people.
Yeah.
And stuff and thoughtful and just cool, interesting, creative. You know, diverse and it's a lot of. I don't know. I don't think it's so bad. I mean, I think some kids can't handle it, but then again, I also think some of it gets picked up from their parents. You know, yeah. You have that overbearing, overprotective, freak out over every little thing.
Well, that's like some kids can go through a haunted house at the age of 7, 8 years old, 6, you know, but then some of them can't go to one until they're like 17 years old.
You get a lot of these, you know, like even in the...
just because they're scared.
In the horror community, you know, or directors or whatnot of horror movies, you know, they'll sit down with their kids and they're like, they'll talk to them. Like, this is make-believe. This is, you know, makeup and maybe even show them some. And then they watch the movie together. And what'd you think? And they might start out with something basic like Creature from the Black Lagoon, you know, and you know, Goosebumps, Mr. Boogity, you know, something that's light-hearted and hocus pocus. And then, you know, you kind of work your way up to see what they can tolerate and stuff. So, I don't know. I was watching full-blown horror at 4 or 5 years old, I remember. So, without the permission of my parents, of course. But And look at me, I'm fine.
Yeah. And I think that goes with, like you said, the mentality of the, like Yeti was saying, to, like, you got to know your kid, your child, whether they can handle it. And that's where, you know, like I said, the haunted house thing, it's like, well, you know, you've already shown your kids some horror movies and told them it's all fake. It's not real. Yeah, they'll get scared in it, but it's not going to be lasting. You know, it's going to go away. It's not going to stay with them. It's not forever.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it. It's fun.
And my thing, it's jump scares. It's not like I'm scared to be here.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You know, the great thing about horror is it's basically a mind fuck on the brain because the brain gets stimulated. And even though it's not real, it thinks that the situation is real. And so it takes your amygdala and then it transfers all of that, you know, to the hypothalamus. And it's like, okay, we got to get going. It triggers that fight or flight, that adrenaline, you know, and that's what's so fun about it, you know, and we know it's fake, but yet it still feels real. It feels like it's happening to us, you know?
That's, if you were with us that time, we went to theater and, there's a guy there that kept screaming.
I don't think so.
No. Okay. Yeah, we was in Murfreesboro, and I can't remember what movie we went and watched.
Yeah, what movie would you scream at?
I think it was the new Annabelle movie that come out last year, maybe, or the beginning of this year, whichever it was. But yeah, that dude was screaming, cussing. Like, he was legit scared.
That man was on drugs.
It was funny for a while, but then it got obnoxious. And it was just like, shut the fuck up, dude. Damn. It's not that scary.
And this is the reason why I don't like going to theaters with a heavily populated area. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You go to a smaller place that has a theater that's not as big, and there's not as many people. So not as many people show up. And they're just more polite, it seems like. I still haven't ran into that problem where someone is loud through the whole thing, or I just ignore it for some reason because I'm just enjoying the film. Or maybe I'm that person. I don't know.
You're the loud one.
I mean, because I'm over there laughing out loud and, you know, and just, but I don't know. I mean, if it's funny, I'm going to laugh, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't sit there and scream and, oh, fuck. You know, like, oh my God.
He was like, run, bitch, run.
Oh, yeah, no. No. That's just someone fucking just being obnoxious to just be an asshole.
I think towards the end, people started telling them, shut the fuck up.
I would have been like, you need to shut the fuck up. You need to run your fucking ass out of here. Fuck that. I can't
you need to damn give me my money back. You ruined the movie for me.
I don't enjoy that at all. So what's everybody's else, like, the audience, if let us know what your opinion is on kids and horror, like, what age they should watch it. I'm over here listening, too, because I'm thinking of the podcast and all that stuff. But let's move on into Succubus. Succubus. Y'all will probably be better at this than me, so if I know Angela did. I'm over here pointing at her as if she is on my tape, but the camera's up there.
I mean, because I thought Yeti would like to start this one off.
Yeah, if Yeti wants to start it,
kind of jump in with you.
Because I mean, I could read the definition of a succubus, but I mean,
we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so basically, bare bones in it, a succubus is a female demon who, for whatever end, has, like, tempts males and has sex with them for some nefarious end. There's, if you go all the way back to the Malefus Maleficarium, which is, like, the most metal fucking name for a book ever written, it translates well, too. It's the Hammer of Witches. Yeah. It's a English witch hunting guide. The succubus comes at night, steals the semen from men, and then takes that semen back, gives it to the incubus, which is the male version of the succubus, and then the incubus uses that semen to impregnate women to then have children who are susceptible to demonic attack.
Yeti. I just had a revelation.
No.
Another revelation. The succubus got me that time.
We'll get to that. Actually, okay. We'll get to that.
All
right. But first off, though, do you hear how ridiculous that is? Like, someone wrote that in the book, and people took it as fact.
Yeah.
That's how men explain cheating.
We're getting to that, too. there's a pope who actually admitted to having a long-term relation with the succubus.
Yeah.
It was Pope Sylvester II, and he met this woman before he became the pope and knew her to be a succubus and continued a relationship with her after becoming a member of the clergy and then after becoming the pope, even though his vows said that he couldn't. And then on his deathbed, he confessed that he had had a relationship with a succubus, which is, again, horse shit, absolute horse shit. And,
isn't that where he explained her out so well? That it made it to where a succubus used to be ugly and deformed and demonic and just, you know, it isn't hot. But then after the Pope did that, that's when the form started changing into a more beautiful woman and moving. Because before it was just in your dreams. That's when a succubus would come. Right? Well, I mean, see, there's so many forms of a succubus.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, I didn't want to steal your thunder, Yeti. Sorry.
All right, go ahead, Angela.
No, I was just going to say there's just so many variations. You know, she appears in like Sumerian, Egyptian, Greek, Roman, yeah. Judaic, Christian mythology. I guess she first appeared in Sumerian culture as a goddess of fertility and witchcraft. And then an Assyrian and Babylonians associated her with dark demons. The Greeks extended her story by for seeing how beautiful and attractive she was. And Zeus was so taken by her that Hera, his wife, transformed her into a monstrous form to roam the world and seduce men and eat babies. And then Judeo-Christian described her as Adam's first wife. And since she wasn't meek and refused to honor Adam, That's awesome. She went off exploring and discovered the Red Sea, where hordes of demons lived and mated with them, and having more than 100 babies a day, which, wow, that's got to stretch out the tummy.
That's specific to succubi. Yeah, that's specific to like Lilith as a being. There's some who believe that it was, she was, because like her story is, there's so many sources on it. It's like, was it that she wouldn't be subservient, or that she wasn't trying to be on the bottom? Like, she refused missionary position. And then was like,
As in, man won't rule over me. I'm a woman, and a man won't rule over me.
Metaphorical.
Yeah.
She,
they both mean this, you know, pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
I was just putting in, if someone didn't understand.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what's her...
There's some people that
I wonder what's her take on doggy style, then.
She probably loves it.
Is that a submissive move, too? Go ahead, Yeti.
But it's crazy because in some, she is Adam's first wife, and you know, like we just talked about. And then in some, I think the cool one is that she leaves the Garden of Eden and speaks God's true name and becomes a demon, and then becomes like the consort of Asmodeus, and like mothers all these demons.
I also like the version of that they think that she could potentially also be one and the same, meaning that the succubi, which is the female, has, after collecting the semen, has the chance then to kind of turn herself into the incubi, and boom, voila.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is if she can change herself, well, it's a demon. So even calling it a she, that's human labels. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
As far as a demon goes, like an incubi, whatever, incubus, if they could be a female, you know, succubus or whatever. I mean, why was it?
Succubus, is the female. Incubi is the male.
Yeah. But I'm saying, but how do you label a demon as a female or a male? They're
just
fucking
by
demons.
The form. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what I mean. Like.
Yeah.
Well, it's the story that was told is what I'm getting at. You know, like, it's just, they want to put a label to make a woman look really bad back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, personal opinion, but
my whole thing is everywhere that I've read is that they come to you at night.
Yeah.
So, and while you're sleeping and so forth.
Yeah, in your dreams.
And I'll touch on that later, why I bring that up.
Because it's like, if you wake up and you feel really drained, it's like, well, maybe a succubus got a hold of you.
It could also be a way to explain wet dreams. Or sleep paralysis. I really think it's a symbol of the, like, religious sexual oppression, or repression rather, where people aren't allowed to have desires. You're not allowed to have that, and it's in your fucking, it's in our makeup as humans to have sexual desires, to have lust. It's your whole point as a human animal is to eat, sleep, fucking die. You know? And everything else is just icing.
Mm-hmm.
So you repress those human desires, and people have to find a way to excuse them.
Yeah.
And also, like, if there's one thing that fucking super stuffy religious dudes hate, it's really hot, groovy women. You know, so if you find a way to explain away your desire and the fact that you spilled your seed on yourself in the middle of the night, and a way to make fucking, you know, insert ancient biblical woman name down the street look bad because she has nice boobs, It's a fucking home run. It's the succubus. Blame the succubus. She's a demon. Burn her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here recently, though, like in the more recent, they've made her look really, really attractive.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what sells.
Yeah, that's because, I mean, in the movies and the video games, she's in video games and the comics and all that stuff.
If you're watching this video right now, in the top corner, you'll see the picture of what I found on Google. And she is, she's wearing thigh-high boots, it looks like. A thong.
It's,
yeah. So, I don't know if...
I do like how they describe that her private area as a cavern of ice.
Oh.
So if you want to put that shit on chill.
Yeah.
Cool off, motherfucker.
Everybody enjoys that.
I mean, anyway.
Did I just dump Yeti?
Yeti's like retracted statement.
I have these things that are called inside thoughts that sometimes fall out of my mouth, and I've been trying to work on that lately.
Well, you could have a cold mouth.
I mean, a mouthful of ice is a wonderful thing, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but...
See, Johnny, you fucking made me look...
I know. I mean... The most recent thing I've watched on with the succubus is the Canadian TV show Lost Girl. And it was like 5 seasons long, and it had a good finish. It was actually a decent TV show. I liked it.
He would have never watched that if Corona hadn't happened.
No, I watched it before Corona happened.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, just because I had nothing else.
On Netflix had Lilith.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is Lilith in Supernatural? And she like
yeah, she's in Supernatural. But she's not a succubi or succubus. She's just a demon. Yeah, she was just a like a main demon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a lot of like later stuff, like a more recent stuff, Lilith has moved away from being a succubus and has just kind of become like a demoness figure or even like a dark goddess figure, which I am all on board with.
Yeah, I like that better a little bit.
Yeah, because like a succubus, then it got pushed into, they got kind of like vampires, you know, like, I guess Stephen King made the reference that they're kind of, why can't I think of the word now? What's the vampire? Son of a bitch. Help me out here.
Dracula?
No,
Dracula?
Fucking.
Salem's Lot?
An emotional vampire,
energy vampire.
Yeah.
Psychic vampire,
whatever. Fucking. Thanks a lot, guys.
You're welcome.
I can't.
Appreciate
I'm
y'all.
Sorry.
I didn't know where you were going.
the succubus takes the energy out of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there's like the psychic vampires that suck energy out of you. But.
Like what we do in the Shadows TV show? The energy vampire?
I don't know. Is that a thing? I've never seen it.
Oh. That's fabulous.
But, I mean,
water,
but that's,
by the way.
They're out there where if you hang out with a person and then your energy's like really low after that, and that's what they call them, like, you know, psychic vampires. They suck all the energy out of you. They're taking your energy and feeding it to themselves or whatever. But I don't know. What is it, Yeti?
What we do in the shadows is definitely worth watching. I was just thinking about the fucking psychic vampire from there. Because he'll just start talking about really boring shit. He'll just start draining people, like everybody in the room.
Well, I kind of see Lilith. I think she's kind of rock and roll. She's kind of like the very first feminist. if you think about it. So.
Yeah, she actually is.
Yeah. I don't think so.
And I think that was a way to oppress women or whatever you want to talk about it to. Like, if you're this way, then you're considered a demon.
Yeah, you're obviously fucking on board with the devil.
You're horrible.
Absolutely.
You're horrible if you want to have your own opinion.
Women were free and wanted to be sexual and all of that stuff.
Couldn't have
you
that. Got to control them.
Yeah.
Got to roll with an iron fist.
Yeah, because, I mean, otherwise women would have ruled the world because, I mean, come on, you know, all the men would just agree with it, whatever they had to say back in the day.
Yeah.
It would just be a thing, you know? But I don't want to get into religion. That's a fucking...
For the movie of the week. Tonight on the movie of the week.
All right, so we're moving into movie of the week, porno. Jim Jam, this is your movie, right?
I just picked it because it got a screener. And it looked like I've been seeing a lot about it, too.
No, but this movie is five teen employees at the local movie theater in a small Christian town discover a mysterious old film hidden in its basement, and it unleashes an alluring succubus.
Well, another... Porno.
There we go.
Hey, another reason I also is a horror comedy, and I really love horror comedy movies, so, you know, figured why not.
And even though the movie's called Porno, I mean, there's naked people in it, but it's not like a porno. Just clearing that up.
It's not a porno, but there's a porno inside the movie.
It's really not, though, and I wish it would have been more. I mean, the movie it's really... itself that they find, that movie reel that Lilith is trapped in, I think it would have been really cool with this satanic ritual that if they would have had. And that's the time to use sex. That's when it would have been fitting in a movie.
I want to see like that in its entirety.
Yeah.
Just by itself.
Do you think they made that? Or sure, they had to make a long version and just cut it in or whatever.
Well, not necessarily.
Maybe if you buy the DVD, maybe it's on there.
I mean, I imagine they just did them parts and it was like, here you go. Like, why would they do a longer version if not needed on a limited budget?
I don't know. I would complete the ritual. Fuck it. You've already started. You've already went through that complicated shit. You might as well go through with it. Finish the fucking ritual.
But yeah, so the movie, how does it start out? It's just a group of kids in the... I don't know how it starts out exactly.
It starts out with...
they're watching the people have sex.
Watching people fuck, yeah.
Yeah. I guess there's your porn.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's a clever opening.
Basically, I feel like they're trying to establish that every one of these kids that works at this theater is raging with lust. Whether if it be watching somebody peeping through somebody's window, having sex because they wish they could, being in love with one person while the other person has a secret because they're lusting after something else. You know, it's just, and that is what I think brings about Lilith, because she's so attracted to that lust that, and they're raging with it, all of them.
Yeah, and it's all, they're all so fucking repressed. Because they're all super religious, and they like their boss is like fucking Ned Flanders.
Yeah,
it's just so everybody has these totally fucking normal desires, but they've been so repressed that they've just kind of become their own little, you know, their own little dark secrets and their own little perversions, and they're completely fucking normal.
This movie's based in 1993 because of the movies that were out. It was Encino Man and
League of Their Own.
And A League of Their Own, just so we're clear. And I don't know if y'all seen the No Fear shirt, but...
I did.
That's totally 90s. Totally fucking 90s. I was like, holy shit, they pulled out the No Fear shirt.
Well, and then what else?
You know, they were showing two wholesome movies, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also, the VHS, what is it, camcorder they showed, that was 90s for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Motherfucker that sits on your shoulder.
Had one of those.
Takes a full VHS tape.
Hell, yeah.
So, basically, they're working, and at the end of their shift, the manager says, all right, guys, it's Friday. You get to watch one movie, you know, after they close. And so why they're deciding which of the two movies to watch, you know, we're introduced to, you know, all the characters. And I have to say, Heavy Metal Jeff was my favorite. He's the projectionist.
I fucking hate that guy so much.
I'll get into it. But an old man comes running through, and he's in the theater, and basically, you know, they think he's drunk. I'm wondering if he was possessed. And he uncovers a hidden boarded up doorway that leads down to the basement. And so they go and explore it, and they find an old movie theater down there. And what they learn in time is that they used to show porns down there and stuff, and that old crazy guy used to own the theater and stuff. And so the fun times ensue.
I love how they come, they're like automatically digging through. It's like all these, you know, milquetoast little sentient jars of mayonnaise, and they're like in a smut theater and just digging through all the tins, hoping for one that's still good. That
I
was
don't
fucking,
even know. Yeah, because at first I don't even think they realized what they stumbled across and everything. I didn't get that impression. And a bunch of the reels were all burned. And
yeah.
So he sees one that's kind of starts glowing. And that's the ritual / porn, which isn't really much of a porn.
Would you call that a Skinamax movie?
Not even that, barely. We do get to see... some Frankenbeans in this movie, which is something that doesn't happen too often, and that's about it.
You know, when you said that totally brought back, you know, I was like, I totally forgot about my nitpick of the week, and I just remembered it, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. Wait, are you thinking bigger or what?
it's not to do with the male member, it's the female, but anyways.
I really like how they develop the characters, even though, like, it's like, I don't know, they seem like really boring people, but they, yeah. Like, on the surface, they're just, like, fucking, they're just white bread, you know, but they develop them really well, where you, even though they're still really fucking boring people, they've kind of got you invested.
Well, I mean, they're from a really small town that has a theater that has two movies. So it tells you how small of an area that they're in. You know what I'm saying? You got the one girl that listens to I can't even think of the damn...
The Cure.
Yeah, The Cure. And she does her eyeliner.
Permission to wear this eyeliner.
Yeah.
To listen to The Cure.
Yeah, you know, just... And it's that small town, you know, where you got the guy that's on the baseball team, and he's really good, you know. And yeah. Heavy Metal Jeff, but that doesn't know everyone calls him Heavy Metal Jeff. Nobody calls me that. And then they're like, "Shut up, Heavy Metal Jeff." You know, it just tells me that they're just small town. They have nothing going on.
Yeah.
Do all of them have like secrets in this? Or
yeah. That?
Okay.
They all have secrets. They all have a fucking repressed desire that's eaten away at them.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, though, this movie felt long to me. I found myself, like, really, like, looking at my watch and wondering, okay, you know, like, I felt like, let's move it along. I don't know why, but there was just something that just dragged for me watching it.
Yeah, it kicks off pretty quick.
Yeah.
But somewhere in the second act, it just kind of drags.
You know, and it's just, you know, and I thought it was weird that, which one was he? Todd. I think Todd is the redhead. He like disappears for a huge chunk of the movie, and that's unexplained. Like, where'd he go? What's going on? You know, and that was kind of weird. I kept thinking, where'd he go? What's going, you know, where's he at? What's he doing?
Well, they ran off and left him when they barricaded themselves in the room. Then he got taken by the old man.
Yeah, but I don't know. That felt like it dragged on. And
yeah,
that whole office part did drag on. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, we found the camera. Oh, well, what's on the camera? And then, you know, when it's kind of like, eh.
I will say there were a couple really funny scenes for me. I think the one of the funniest was when they came in and, you know, they kept debating because you had Jeff that didn't, they, you know, he wanted to stop the movie and they couldn't stop the movie. And so anyways, the part where he walks in and then you do see the close-up of the guy's privates and his reaction, that was really funny and for me. And then when the manager was in the stall and Lilith is doing something sexual to him and he explodes and then they all like kick back and jump at the same time. And I even was like, whoa, you know, that scene as well. And I really liked those two scenes a lot. I thought that was funny, but I don't know. I wasn't overly impressed. It didn't make sense. I mean, like, so going back to like Lilith, you know, they talk about Lilith comes to you in your dreams, but all these guys are awake. She's just, you know what I mean? I mean, not to be all technical, but.
But it's even like Todd, they put him into an alternate universe. You know what I'm saying? Like, they open up some sort of thing, and then they go into it, and they... I didn't know. I didn't quite understand the whole Todd being a succubus in that universe. You know, he was going to kill them and I guess that's what she feeds off of.
Kind of taken over
by... Yeah, he had given up. He had given in, and... she had him, and those guys didn't belong in the Hell Dimension. They kind of snuck in.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, though, but, like, if you're there, that means that she has your energy. Like, that keeps her alive. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I... Like, how does she stay alive? I mean, if she's killing people. Like, she exploded the manager, and I'm just like, well, why would you have exploded him? I mean, it looked really cool.
I mean, because she can do that.
Because plot.
Demons kill indiscriminately, you know, sometimes, you know, and that's...
Well, but I mean, but if her goal is to stay alive and to stay, you know, succubus sucks energy, you know, they get the energy out of you to...
Yeah, but all those guys were giving in to her.
Yeah, true. I guess, yeah.
That's what I was saying. They were all full of lust, and so she's feeding that.
Besides the one guy, right? Did the guy give in to her?
I don't think he did because he wasn't attracted to a woman.
Oh, I mean, kind of.
Oh,
I mean, in the end, the baseball
the jock,
the gay guy.
Yeah.
Didn't they turn him? Didn't she turn into a guy or a picture?
Yeah.
Or
oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was enjoying it the most, I think.
That was kind of one of my favorite scenes in the movie, where he's like, you know, he's really getting down.
Just give
with
me
this,
five more
this
minutes,
demon dude.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, I'm going to ring the bell. Whoa, hey, wait, just a couple more minutes.
Yeah. The dance that he was doing is one of the ways that they actually suggest that you summon a succubus.
Oh, really?
They talk about, like, if you want to summon a succubus, if you're so inclined, it's actually, you light some candles, set the mood, and then you rub some oil all central on your body. And then you start kind of moving around and thrusting to, like, tease the succubus.
Nope. I feel so awkward.
And then you go to bed and you dream about the succubus coming to you.
And I feel so fucking awkward.
And you just see fucking chest hair matted with oil.
Yeah. Tucker would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Tucker slide right off of you.
Yeah, he would look at me like,
a flip and slide for Tucker.
Doing the dance from the fucking Beavis and Butthead movie. Just.
God. But this movie did have a good special effect.
Heavy Metal Jeff, right?
On Heavy Metal Jeff, yeah.
Okay, this part I wanted...
That was so unexpected.
I had a weird thought when this happened. And
the heavy metal Jeff where his nuts exploded.
Oh, yes.
You know, yeah, I never thought about this during the movie, but when this happened, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, the gay guy is, like, undoing his pants. And heavy metal Jeff is tripping, like, dude, you know, don't do this, man. You're going to, like, be attracted to me or something. You know, but that ain't the part. But I'm sitting here thinking, I even tell my wife, I hope they show his nuts. I didn't see his nuts exploded. And good Lord, they did. And it looked realistic as hell.
So you had a problem with the size of the Johnson at first. And then to see the
and
nuts.
And then he wants to see more nuts.
Okay. Yeah, wait, we got you, bud.
You know what? We accept everybody for who they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're a ball man, that's fine. Totally fine. I guess I understand it.
It's okay.
Yeah. I think that kind of brings me to a point on accident. Does this movie, like, in the end, it was all about accepting that you're a fucking flawed human and you have desires.
Yeah.
And that's the only way they got around to, like, you know, their happy ending or whatever, was everybody just kind of accepted who they were. And Chastity learned to accept baseball guy for being gay.
Yeah. You know, so, I think they all kind of did, you know?
Yeah.
Didn't she try to kiss him or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was like, I got a girlfriend. I don't want to be with you.
Well, go on.
Your feelings.
That was funny, though, that, you know, I guess but that in them times, how small-minded Jeff was, he thought that, like, if a gay guy seen a penis, they automatically were just...
Oh, it's sexual.
Yeah. And that one guy was like, that's not how that works.
Well, I that's just a great example, though, of just being suppressed and overly religious and in a smaller kind of conformity of religion, you know? And
Jeff had really fucking pinned himself in. Like, he had another layer of self-suppression on top of it.
Yeah.
With being a fucking edge kid.
Jim, you should get yourself a hairless cat. It just looks like a sack.
That's gross.
I don't want to spend money on an animal. Like, buying one. I don't want
to. Then you have to buy sweaters for it to keep it warm.
Aw. You could be Tennessee horse shirt.
You probably got to oil it down.
But if someone gave me that cat, I would definitely take it. But
I think there's a lot of working to take care of a hairless cat.
I'm not going to go out and buy no animal that costs $500-$600. So I don't want it that bad.
Probably more than that.
Mm-hmm. When there's so many animals out there that need rescued, but
what I mean, adopt one.
Yeah, it's rare to find a hairless cat to adopt. I think
there's plenty of shelters.
You don't want a hairless cat. You don't want a hairless cat.
I just wait till Joe Exotic gets out, and I buy a tiger cub from him.
Motherfucker ain't getting out.
Anyway, sorry. Back.
Hey, I'm good at bringing it back.
Yeah.
In the back.
So. But the special effects on this movie were really good. I enjoyed it. What was your... Everyone enjoyed the movie? Like, I mean, it was a good movie.
I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I had a hell of a lot of fun. Had some laughs. It's a good time.
Yeah, I had some laughs. I was a little bored.
As far as, like, Fangoria movies go, for the past, like, Cinestate and Fangoria did Satanic Panic, and then this one. I prefer porno over Satanic Panic.
Really? I'm the opposite. Yeah. I like Satanic Panic better than this.
I didn't understand what the fuck I was getting into. Like, I liked it well enough, but I thought it was going to be, like, closer to House of the Devil than The Babysitter. So.
Yeah.
But it wasn't bad.
No.
I think I like this one better, though.
Well, one part of the movie for me, I'll go ahead and get into my nitpick of the week. When it showed Lilith, her nether region, it looked like they glued on a rug to her vagina area. That
they probably did. I mean, it could have been fake hair.
Oh, it definitely was. There's no way that she had that. Yeah. Even 70s Bush from old porno movies didn't look that fake.
I don't know.
I mean,
70s was definitely fro.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was also, like, really well-shaped. So, I mean...
They cut it good, but it still looked like a fucking rug glued onto her.
It's probably more of, like a underwear American type deal.
Because I'm sure she didn't want to be full lips out, you know?
Yeah,
I mean...
Well, you wasn't going to see him anyways with that, bud.
Well, that was the point.
That's the point.
I guess that's why it's nitpick.
Do y'all not realize the point of this nitpick?
Yes, I do. That's why I pointed it out.
But there you go.
Porno, Yeti wrote a review on it that was spoiler free. So hopefully you read that and didn't listen to this if you haven't watched it.
Yeah. If not,
I don't think we talked too much about it.
No.
You know, like,
we just talked
detail and stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was in order. What we was talking about.
That made me look like I love balls and penis. You know that.
That's a fact.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. This maybe lets you know that you can accept yourself. We're all accepting of it.
Yeah, we have you. That the road to that. Fuck. Try this one more time. Exception is the road to success.
Yeah. So, $20 is $20. Jim Jam.
That's all we got, y'all.
Nah.
we're not done yet.
Yeah, he spit out his drink. But Angela has a couple of movie recommendations. Sorry, I'm laughing at Yeti. If you've seen the video of that, holy shit. Go ahead, Angela.
I thought I'd recommend two movies, maybe that people haven't seen or heard of that I thought were kind of fun. The first one, I don't know if you guys have seen it, Another Evil. It's on Shudder.
It's a dark comedy.
Basically, the synopsis is, after encountering a ghost in their family vacation home, a couple hire an exorcist to get rid of it. They soon realize that ridding the home of the evil spirit will be more difficult than imagined. The guy who performs the exorcist supposedly is the energy vampire from What We Do in the Shadows show.
Oh.
I saw that a while back. I think that's a fun little watch. The other one that I'd recommend that threw me off, I just had it on and I don't know why. I really, really dug it, is Lady Vengeance. It's a South Korean psychological horror. It's on Shudder and Tubi. And it's basically the lead character, after being wrongfully imprisoned for 13 years and having her child taken away, a woman seeks revenge through increasingly brutal means. So both descriptions are kind of blah, but they're both really, just really good movies. I thought I'd throw out there for listeners. They want to check out something different.
Is that kind of like Old Boy?
No, it's not. So it has such a different feel to it. It has almost like a, I don't want to say campy artistic feel. It's just really cool the way they do it. And she's in prison, so you kind of get to see these other stories. It's almost like a Kill Bill kind of a feel to it a little bit. Yeah. So I think maybe you'd enjoy it. That's on, like I said, Shudder, or if you don't have Shudder, it's on Tubi. So
what was it again?
Lady Vengeance.
Lady Vengeance.
And then the other one was Another Evil. So if you kind of just like the humor of, like, you know, Murder Party and Gravy and Tucker and Dale, you might enjoy this one.
Well, I enjoyed Murder Party and Tucker and Dale. So.
Yeah, it just kind of has, you know, something isn't quite right. Things, I don't know, it's just good.
All right, cool. Yeah. Definitely check them out. I'm glad y'all can remember movie titles, because I can't. Like, after I watch a movie, I don't remember a lot of times the fucking titles. It's so hard for me. With what? Books?
With books. I'm real bad.
Yeah, it was like, we watched so many movies over the years. I have no clue unless I see part of the movie and be like, yep, I remember watching that. You know what I'm saying? Like, otherwise, maybe that's a me thing.
No, I they have to, unless they really stick out to me, I'll kind of look at them. Hey, did I see that? And I'll give it, I have to give it 10 minutes or so. You know. There's a few that stick, kind of like Unlisted Owner. It definitely sticks out in my in my memory banks. Remember that one, Johnny? It's a fucking terrible film. I can't even.
No, Angela, you should definitely go watch Unlisted Owner. You got Angela Prime.
Yeti has a
do. See, you done talked about Unlisted Owner, and we done left.
You can forget it.
We don't fucking make it past 10 minutes.
And all I hear is about, oh, this is such a good movie. And it felt like so cheap and cheesy and poorly done.
And yet he has autographed DVD or Blu-ray now.
I gave it a chance, and I think I tried again. I still couldn't make it. I was just like, ugh. And it's one of those movies where it's like, I want to see it again and try to get through it. Just because I will. You know what? It might still be on Shudder, actually. Or somewhere.
Yeah, you definitely need to let me know what that is, because you gotta have them terrible movie nights.
I think it may be on YouTube.
Well, there was one movie it took me 4 times to watch. It's a local movie called Morbid.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, you watched it in.
Did Chuck finally send that to you so you can watch? I wonder. I'll see if he's got a YouTube version of it to get a link to you.
This is a $500 movie.
Well, I'll send it to you too, Angela. You can check it out. But it's a no-budget horror movie.
Yeah, he had like put $500 into it. He didn't bother me as bad. It's over the top.
Well, they show how they made a certain prop, and they used a garden hose and Play-Doh to make a very large penis.
And it shot out a lot of blood.
Yeah, because they... The guy eventually gets it cut off.
What? No. Yeah. Easy on the...
Try not to be an asshole.
Anyways.
What's up, everyone? If you're watching this on video, you notice that my shirt's different. The audio crapped out on us at the end, so we couldn't do an outro. And it's just me, and I just... Thank you for listening. We couldn't use that audio. It's just too bad. You know, and if you're watching this, you know, make sure to like this video, share it with your friends, your enemies, whatever. And thank you for donating on our Patreon. You can, Alex, anyone else can go and donate. Wes and Isaac, thank you so much. And just please help support us. We got merch at T Public. Got this cool shirt on if you're watching. Pulling it all the way up. No, but thank you so much for listening, guys. That's all we got. Peace. We're out.
We have had a doozy of a day.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.